Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham Dhammam Sangham Namassami. Nature is a powerful teacher if we sit and watch. And living here in the forest and fields, we watch day by day in very close range. We watch the weather systems coming through, but it's all so unpredictable. If we study our life, it's also totally unpredictable, isn't it? We don't know day by day what will arise. We don't really know. We have routines and we think we know. For a few years, there seems to be a pattern, and then something happens and it all goes belly up. Or we have some great gift bestowed in life. But we are not in control. It's important for us to acknowledge that, and more than acknowledge is to accept. And if it's just acceptance, like, oh, well, too bad, that's not really acceptance. Because what we're trying to do as spiritual practitioners is gain wisdom about all this, to be informed by it. What does it all mean? Why are these flowers not blooming longer? But that's not going to make us happy, because no matter how long it lasts, it isn't going to last, because if the flowers don't wilt, the eyesight will. We won't even see them eventually. The whole thing is just a show. It's a flashing show. And you think, well, no, it's really fun. It's great. Sure, yeah, it is. It's wonderful. But it is a passing wonderful. It's an impermanent wonderful. And the wonderful part of it is that it is impermanent. Because if it was permanent, flowers that are permanent are plastic. Old plastic is really unpleasant, brittle. You don't even want it to come in contact with your food. It all gets old, decrepit. But there is something to be learned from this impermanence. And the decrepit state is not something for us to hold on to or to reject, but it's just to understand the arising and ceasing, that life, birth, and the death. We sign up for the whole thing. We don't only sign up for the happiness. Let's be happy, happy all the time. And then when the happiness ends, what do people do? There's this constant seeking the next experience which will give us happiness. The next garden to look after, the next trees to trim and make beautiful. There's so much work in the garden. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful, but it's not the wonder of the Dhamma. To know the Dhamma, to understand the truth of what we are, there's nothing of this world that really comes close to that. It just, we're so easily distracted. Even the cute deer bouncing around, which is just too thrilling for the heart. And it is wonderful. So we're given these gifts along the way to inspire, to delight. But then we have to remember that it's just a moment. And then we have to face the condition of the body, the loss of the loved, the wars in the world, the conflicts with neighbors, the hatred, the greed, the theft. Even here in this monastery where we are cultivating the path, we think, we're cultivating as best as we can with all the props and conventions and supports that one would wish for to live this life, this spiritual endeavor that we have contrived, constructed, collected, and progress or continue to work at. Even here, with all this effort, before, we lived here quite easily, lazily. I don't mean lazy in work, but not that attentive to intrusion or to the power of the world to break or smash our little fantasy. So when strangers walk up our driveway with nefarious intentions for the second or third time, there may have been more, but we didn't really know. It's a shock, but it isn't a shock because the world is like this. There's good and there's bad, there's life and there's death, there's happy and unhappy, there's health and there's sickness. There's a stream of events that have graduated qualities, the part we like and the part we don't like. So now we have to go around locking our doors, locking the temple, locking our kutis, putting whatever we don't want to lose in a safe place. The world encroaches. But so does life. There is no safety in this world. We think we're safe, but if we think a locked door is safety, then it is safe in one way. It's a slight protection from intruders. But really, our safety is not that. So now, having been young, and having been middle-aged, and now getting old, now old age, now I see the way the mind also changes its idea of safety. And what it values and treasures has so changed. I see young people and I see what they value, and I remember, oh yeah. You get perspective. And when, you know, at a certain age you think, well, I'm 50 or whatever. I got another how many years, so I don't have to worry. But then when you're old, there is no future. The future becomes rather insignificant. And the end of the life is there. And the Dhamma is the dominant theme, enthralling in a way. There's a gratitude that one doesn't have to go through all those distractions with the same kind of enthusiasm because one knows the impermanence of it all. It's much more in one's face. But then looking at the world, The world has been reminding us of this impermanence forever. And then I reflect how lucky we are that if we didn't get it when we were young, and if we didn't get it when we were in our middle age, and if we didn't get it when we were in our later age, we can still get it when we're old. But we shouldn't wait. And that's very hard to do because there's so much beauty to be seen and to be with. There's so much goodness to perform, to get engaged with. There's so much kindness and generosity to practice. But till we can really focus in those ways, there is still so much distraction. And nature is always there to show us impermanent, impermanent, not going to last. Death is everywhere. And learning a technique, getting good at being a monastic, I'm a good meditator, or whatever, is just another identity. It's another distracted way of holding the world. Because when we do that, there's almost a trap that prevents us from dying to this self. As long as we're not dying to this self that keeps identifying with age, with ability, with strength, with talent, with knowledge, with degrees. And it's not to put those down, but to see them in the context of what is the true gift of this life? What do we need? What will support us when we're breathing our last and we really don't know, we cannot control when that will happen? And we've just seen a young guy suddenly die, unexpected, maybe expected, and a young woman who intentionally took her life because of being so despondent and not well directed. Very sad. These things happen. And then to lose one's child, and especially in old age, to lose your own child, that's not what nature promised. Get old and your kids will look after you. And then where are they? The wars, the killings, the strikes, the sickness. The world is full of a confluence of unpredictability and insecurity. But there is one thing, there is one truth that we can know here and now forever that can guide us through our whole life and our whole death whenever it comes. And the treasure that we're looking for, the journey that we're traveling to find that ultimate happiness is right here in this present moment, in this point of attention, in this awareness that can open to the wholeness of this universe that is within us. We see it from the outside in very confined ways, but if we contemplate and open and listen inwardly, we're sitting on a gold mine. We're sitting with treasure, the riches of which we have not yet understood. There is nothing in the world that can compare to this, and the show of the world is so fascinating and engaging. But the lesson that we can learn from that, we can learn it from within our own heart. And this heart, when it cracks open in the depths of compassion, in the throes of suffering, when pain is hitting at its worst or its deepest, in the loss of the child that we love, in that very loving heart is the richness of being able to hold the coming and going, the loss and the gain, the joy and the sadness, the sorrow and the bliss. In all that changingness, the awareness of the changing is what can really hold it all in a way that is impermeable. There's no one that dies. To realize the true state of deathlessness is to live without that suffering, but to understand its origin, the pain of it, and the way to end that pain, the way to free ourselves from it, to fathom the depths that this nature teaches us when we understand impermanence. And it's through the purification of the mind, such that we can abide in pure awareness, and we realize what is deathless. That's it. It's so simple, but we practice a lifetime. That's the truth that we can realize and reckon in this very transit. We're like a planet that's transiting through the universe. And if we stay on course and don't crash, then we have no boundary. Planets come and go. The earth is also impermanent. These wars, I was writing about these wars 25 years ago, 30 years ago, they were wars, but different wars. Still, the world is in trouble. It's always in trouble. And it's always bursting with beauty. To see that conflagration and peace, like the rose that opens and droops, then blooms again and droops. But the perfume, the fragrance of the Dhamma, pervades everywhere. And that's the awakening of this heart. So we enter the world not for the sake of gathering worldly experience, but for understanding what can we truly know. This knowing excels everything. The Enzo, a Zen symbol, this circular form, expresses enlightenment. It looks like a giant zero. And when you add zero to any number, the power of the zero is enormous. So we should know that we are zero. If we know that we are nothing, we come to know everything in that. Where the heart is empty, of the world. It's emptying out. In this emptying out, we come to know what is the fullness of this life, what makes it sacred beyond ordinary understanding. The depth of this path can be likened to trees. I watch the trees a lot, season by season. They are a metaphor for patience. We want fast results. This world is bent on fast. The faster, the better. But the trees speak of patience. They symbolize standing in wind, in snow, in lightning and thunder, in hail and sunshine, in gentle rain, in heaven, on earth, giving seclusion to hermits, giving shade, giving homes to creatures, giving joy to humans. Patience. They stand there till they drop. They just keep standing. Their roots are very deep. If we don't develop deep roots, we don't stand up to this path. But slowly, gradually, steadily, we gain traction and we stand like the trees, patient. We understand, stand under to realize. And gratitude is a great watering of the trees, watering of the human heart. So for me, gratitude comes very fast because I see life slipping away. And so I feel grateful every day. I wake up, I'm still here. I wake up, I feel gratitude. When we stay in a state of gratitude, then we can receive more and more. Suffering or not, we're not moving. We're here, committed to the end. We have to make peace with how divisive human beings are. It's just the way it is. And we have to make peace with that. You might be able to help some in some way, but you might not. And then we have to find the unity, the unifying factor within us, and let go where letting go is all you can do. Let go and bless the world, bless it, with your own inner harmony. Being in harmony with the present moment is the greatest gift that you can offer. Even if it's silent, sitting in your own home and awakening in there, that might be the loudest blessing you could provide. And if people can't hear it, look at the world. This world is not permanent. Who knows? But at least to live and die in a state of grace, in a state of gratitude and love, that's a gift. And maybe some people will detect that fragrance and be blessed by it. And some won't. That's why we practice. We can't spread peace in the world if we're not peaceful ourselves. And the chances of us being infected by other people's divisiveness is strong. But just be aware that the awareness that we really seek is beyond worldly divisiveness. And not everyone will be able to understand that. Rare. Hard to do. Only solution.